So what I'm trying to do is tie this all together and what that looks like for us in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and what that brings to our life, because that was what Jesus was going to do in this place. So going back to Scripture, 1 Corinthians 6 and 15. So don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? Should a man take his body, which is a part of Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Never. And don't you realize that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? For the Scripture says, the two are united into one. But the person who is joined to the Lord in spirit is one with him. So, I need the context. In 15, don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? Now, when he talks about the man and the prostitute in the middle, we don't need that context. I mean, that's there, but that's not what we're talking about this moment. We're going to jump down to 17 and again and tie 15 and 17 together. But the person who is joined to the Lord is one in spirit with him. That is the baptism of what Jesus was bringing. It was a joining of the spirits. God, literally, the Holy Spirit, when he gives us the Holy Spirit, it literally joins our spirit. We become one with him. And that is one, when I think about what I've been taught all through my life, I didn't understand that. I seen that as a separation. I know who I am. I know who my spirit is, right? And then I understand that I get God's spirit. He's the Holy Spirit. He's going to come inside of me. But it was almost like water in the bottle. It's not. It is a joining. It's a joining of God's spirit itself with mine. And it's very clear here. It says, but the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. And what does it say in 15:2? Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? And again, I just want you to get a deeper understanding of what he's talking about. When we say the word, we are the body of Christ, understand that you're just a part of Jesus himself. The way that's not something that we could have ever achieved in the natural. That's something that only comes through the supernatural, right? And as we've seen here today, as we've walked through the ministry of John the Baptist and the introduction of baptism into the natural and what that looked like, now let's get the greater picture of what that was preparing us for. A joining literally of my spirit with the Holy Spirit, which makes me in connection to the entire body of Christ. Christ being the head, right? And all the pieces, the body of Christ there under, were one. And as you go in and you read in the book of John 16, 17, go and read in there where Jesus talks about the unity and what that truly looks like. And we can walk in that. And matter of fact, Jesus himself even prays for us. He's praying for the disciples at that time, but then all of a sudden, what does he do? He includes anyone that will ever believe. I think that is so cool to think Jesus himself prayed for me, you know? Like, he said a prayer for me. If there's one prayer in this entire world that I say I agree with, it's the one that came from Jesus' mouth, right?
Amen.
And I love the fact that I can look in his word and know that one was for me. He prayed that for me. So, Father, I thank you that you're giving this the revelation of this unity and what that truly looks like, that we are joined in spirit with Christ, because that's what Jesus' purpose was. And we're going to go into Colossians so we can kind of look at that. And this is one, if you've listened to me before, you've probably heard this several times because I love this book. And I love the clarity that it brings. So, Colossians 2, and we're going to go down to verse 9. Actually, I'm going to start in verse 8 because this is worth repeating. In verse 8, it says, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from spiritual powers of this world, rather from Christ. And the reason I want to say that today is because, again, let's be careful. There, we have access today in this generation to more information than we have ever had in our entire lives, right? All we literally have to do is grab a phone, a tablet, a computer, a PC, whatever. We type in a few things, and we get a multitude of answers to the question that we just asked. And when I say a multitude, I mean truth, lies, half-truths, you get all of it, right? And that is a good thing, but it's also a bad thing. Because I can go in there and say, who was Jesus? And you know what might be the first article? Someone trying to debunk and lying about who he was, right? So we have to be so careful about those things because there is so much information at our fingertips, but not all of that information is the truth. And the reason I say that today is I want people to realize you have to be careful about the teachers, about the pastors, any of those people that are in a position where they're teaching you the word, that they are teaching you the word, right? That they are not giving you a doctrine or a theological thinking or even an interpretation of the word. Because as you'll notice this morning, we're just reading it. We're just reading the word, and we're letting it teach us in itself. I don't need to add anything to this. I'm not going to take anything from this because it is the truth in that. So be careful in that. And don't let the enemy have way in your life where you could be taken off guard and start believing some crazy philosophies or nonsense that comes from human thinking or, as he points out here, the spiritual powers. That ain't the good ones, people, right? Those are the influences that can influence into all these things and lead us astray in this. So continuing on in 9, it says, "For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you are also complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority." And we just qualified that union of Christ, right? In the previous scripture, it says, "When you came to Christ, you were circumcised not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature." So understand in the moment of the baptism of John the Baptist in water, right? It was for the remission of their sins, and that was it. There was nothing else happening in that moment. It was just an act to show I choose this, right? It was an outward portrayal to show that I choose to walk in repentance of my sins in that. But it was a preparation for what was to come. Because what happens now as we're baptized in Jesus, because how are we baptized in Jesus? Because through the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. So when we are joined with Christ, right, that is the Holy Spirit. That is the part of him. And if you need to understand that, I want you to, maybe this will make that a little more clear. The word says that Jesus was the manifestation of the Spirit in the flesh, right? So looking at that, Jesus exists in spirit. But to live in the world, he had to have a body like you and I. So all that was he was the, what does the word say? He was the visible image of God. So the invisible was the spirit realm. But then when God put him on the earth, it had to be in a body. That was the visibility of that spirit, the body, right? So now that Jesus returned, and I didn't go in that today, but you can go in there, you can read when he was telling his disciples, "I have to ascend to the Father." And they were like, "No, please don't go. We need you here." What was he doing? He was telling them, and he was being very clear, "I have to go. Because if I don't go, guess what? This baptism into the Holy Spirit that I've been talking to you about for over the last 1,500 years, right, have been leading up to this moment right here. If that does not happen, that can't be fulfilled. And my word will not go fulfilled, right? It is going to be fulfilled." So what he does in that place is he's just showing them. Jesus in this place is now when we are baptized, there is a circumcision that happens. There is a supernatural thing. Something that is in the supernatural. We see the natural in the baptism of John the Baptist. Now the supernatural, when we're baptized in Christ, because that's what we see according to the word, right? Let me read it. When you came to Christ, this is verse 11. "When you came to Christ, you were circumcised not by a physical procedure, but Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God." Again, because you trusted. We have to agree. We have to, by faith, agree with the words that come from God, right? And that is what brings that into our life. When we say we agree, that is what brings forth the fruits of those things in our life. And even in that place, sometimes we'll misunderstand that. When we read the word and it talks about the fruits of the Spirit, we think that we, through human effort, can navigate into those things. That's not the truth. That's the reason that they're called the fruits of the Spirit. It's because of that Spirit joining with yours that those things then naturally bear from your life. It takes no effort on your part outside of the acceptance and belief and say, I believe what this says. Those things only are the byproduct. The fruits are only the byproduct of that change happening in your life. And that's what he's talking about here. And with him, you're raised to new life, right? Because in the old life, when we look at John the Baptist, those people were still stuck in the sinful nature. And you want to see some, you don't believe me, go read the Old Testament. You'll see craziness, right? People read the Old Testament, they're just like, how did that stuff happen? Yeah. Sinful nature. Yeah. Like, that was a part of who they were, right? They still had hearts for God, and God had a way that was coming, but up until that point, it was not yet for them, but it is for us, right? We live in the most, in the greatest covenant that God has ever created. As we go through and we see those covenants that God has given through his word, we get the best one. So that is so exciting for us in this time to live in the best covenant thus far that God has given to men. And I love that. So continuing on, you are dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. And that's what I was just talking about. In that old way, the sinful nature was not yet, because that was something that could only happen in the supernatural. It couldn't happen in the natural. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all your sins. He canceled the record of your charges against you and took it all away by nailing it to the cross. And then this is the kicker, and I love this. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authority. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. And so to finalize all of this, what is that saying? When we are baptized into Christ by the Holy Spirit, right? Then we are one. We literally become joint heirs. We become one with the body of Christ. So every authority that you read through the entire New Testament that Jesus walked in, guess what? You do too. You have that very same authority. Why? Because you're joined with him. When God sees Jesus, he sees you. When God sees you, he sees Jesus. He can't; those two cannot be separated. Why? Because we've just qualified that according to the scripture. Because when we are baptized into him, we are literally merged in our spirits. And if we, as Christians, we realize that is the most real thing about us. This flesh stuff, it's the temporary, right? That's not the eternal. The flesh of me will die. We see that according to the word. But the spirit of who I am will live forever. And it will either go on to be forever with Christ, or it will go on to an eternity of damnation and torture, right? And we don't want that. We want what Christ has for us. And that's one thing that I never do is I never motivate people to go to Christ because of fear of hell. No. Come to Christ because he loves you. Yeah. He has purpose. He has destiny. He has plan for your life. That is the greatest message. I don't need to motivate you by fear of don't go here. I need to motivate you in love to say this is what you want, because it fulfills every desire that you'll ever have, right? In that place in our lives. So anyway, I just thought that was really cool, and I thought I would bring that for you guys today, of just seeing a picture of John the Baptist's life, the things that he was spoken, and then even watching the word confirm itself, right? Over and over and over, the confirmation of the word. And to me last night, that was just a huge encouragement as I was looking into these things. And so I want you guys to be encouraged today. And maybe there was a nugget for you that you got here. But one of the things, again, that I spoke about a little bit earlier, maybe this is something you're like, yeah, I got most of that, or I already knew most of that. Or maybe this was something that was totally new for you, but this is something I want you and encourage you guys to do. Go do a study on this yourself. See what revelations that God has to reveal through his word to you in this way, because what I do know is you are about to see an influx into the body of Christ like we have never experienced before. And again, that's what God has been saying. So what am I going to do? I'm going to agree, and I'm going to decree, and I'm going to say the same things. Father, I thank you for the harvest. Father, I call them in. Father, I thank you that you're going to utilize my life to be a laborer, to get out there, to bring those souls to you. And then guess what? We have to walk in baptism, because that's a major part of our walk with Christ. That is the moment of the combination of the spirits, right? When I accept Jesus, when I see the need for my Savior, and I accept him, that is awesome. But then we see instruction according to the word. What does he say? He says, now from here, and he instructs his disciples in this way. So anybody that came after is also a disciple of Christ, right? We're all followers in that way. What does it say? It says, go forth into all the nations and baptize. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is a mandate that was given to each and every one of us. And I also want you guys to understand this too. That is not the job of the fivefold ministry, right? Just the job. Can the fivefold ministry do that? Absolutely. The pastors, the apostles, the teachers, the prophets, the evangelists, you're going to see them do those things. And as a matter of fact, in church culture, in the American way, it's mostly the pastor that does all of those things. But it doesn't say, hey, fivefold ministry, go forth into all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It says, hey, believers, right? Believers. There is not one of you that is disqualified from baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all I'm here to tell you is, again, we get so crazy sometimes with all this. Well, do I need to do it here? Do I need to do it there? How do I do it this? How do I do it that? You just need a body of water and somebody to go under it, right? Because what we're doing is only something, again, as we see in the picture of John the Baptist, in the natural, to signify and usher in something that is happening in the supernatural, right? So as we do that, I don't care if it's a lake, if it's a tub, it's a creek, it's a stream, it doesn't matter. Just get under knowing and understanding, I am doing this in the natural to signify, to declare, to decree, to show something else is going on in the supernatural, something that I see according to the word and I believe it with all my heart, right? And then walk in the fullness of that. So again, no one, not one single person, if you are a believer in Christ, is disqualified to go forth and baptize another into that same thing that you received. God has called us all to that. And each and every one of us should have that privilege in our life to be able to bring that to someone else who doesn't have that. So if you're learning this today, it may be because God is preparing your life and your heart, because you would have thought, man, I will never get to baptize anybody. But what if a billion souls come to Jesus in the year of 2024? It's going to take more than the few pastors and the few prophets and the few teachers that we have, right? Because those are a lot less than the believers, just the believers in Christ. It's a lot less. There's too many people for us to get a hold of. You got to do this thing. And as a matter of fact, as I see, according to the word in Ephesians 4, I am instructed to build you up, to train you, to equip you to go do those things, right? So that's exactly what my heart was today. So I hope you gathered some good revelation from God. And if you didn't get it in this moment, just from teaching again, as I always instruct, go and regurgitate, go and reread these scriptures that we have shared today. Because a teacher can never bring revelation. He can only bring you the information. God will bring the revelation to your heart so that that becomes solid in who you are and becomes part of your life moving forward. Amen.
Amen. I got some confirmation this morning.
Awesome.
I really appreciate your willingness and your heart for God. I just really appreciate it, Jason. I can't say that enough. At the end of last year, I want to say it was around November or so, I believe. I'd have to go and look. But the Lord, I was spending time with the Lord. And I asked him, I do some self-reflecting.
Right.
And every now and then I'll just, Lord, are we good? Are we good?
Right.
You know? And at the end of last year, around in November, I went outside to take a break and I was sitting there and in the clouds, I seen the image of Jesus from head to toe. And in one hand, he had a V for victory. And in the other hand, he had like a knife, like a little sword. And he said, I have circumcised you. You are circumcised to me.
Right.
And that was his way of telling me and letting me see that I am his.
Right.
And then in December, around the 1st of December, he said, it was raining, and the Lord said, this water I'm sending to water the seeds that have been sown. Be ready for the harvest.
Yeah.
And then the Lord gave me two words for 2024. He said, 2024 will be full of favor and freedom. I know what favor means, and I know what freedom means.
Right.
In the fit here. If I, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So now, taking those words, Lord, help me get in line with these words that you've given me for 2024. Help me get in line and help me understand what you want to do in 2024. I don't know your plans, but I know your plans are good.
Right.
I don't know the details. I don't know exactly what you're going to do, but I know it's good.
Right.
So help me, Lord, get in line with these words that you spoke. And one more thing. I like coffee. He knows how to speak to you. Okay. I'm going to try not to get sissy lala for the Lord on this. Okay, y'all. But I really like my coffee. And the Lord, it was so cool. He's so sweet. And whenever he speaks, it's like I see it. I don't just hear it in my spirit.
Right.
I can see what he's saying, if that makes sense. I see what you're saying,
right,
Lord, you know. Coffee. When you make a pot of coffee, it's black. The black coffee represented me. The sugar is my sweet Jesus, my salvation. And the creamer. Oh, the creamer. It brings the change to the coffee. That represents the Holy Spirit. I was like, okay, Lord.
Yeah.
So, of course, I got it on paper so that I can go back and reflect on the sweet bread.
Yeah.
To me, this right here is fresh bread for me.
Right.
And the words that you spoke is fresh bread from the Lord.
Right.
That he gave to you. Right. And through your willingness and obedience in your heart of God to bring forth that word he gave you, it allowed me to get something that I can hang on to.
Right.
And whenever the enemy comes at me telling me I'm not enough, why do you keep going there? Why do you keep doing this? Why do you keep helping them?
Right.
This is why.
Yeah, that's good. I love that. Because, you know, God speaks through his word.
Mm.
But there's also another word that's called ruach. And God speaks, right? Mm. And that's where, when we look into the word, like, he calls us friends. and his the relationship that we have him with him at, with the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. that we talked about today is exactly that, you know. And what I love about that is just what you expressed is it's personal. Like mm-hmm. he speaks to us in a way that we get it, that it makes sense to our hearts, right? And that is nothing but an encouragement to those who get to hear that, because in when they hear that, they may not get it like you got it. Mm-hmm. But what they will do is in the moment that they get one of those, they'll be like, oh, yeah, now I get it, right? Yeah. Because now I hear him speaking on my terms and my language and my vocabulary. And, you know, I think that's so cool when God does that, because, you know, he can share something that would make sense to you say that to them, and they're like, huh?
Yeah.
But then he says it to you, and you're just like, oh, gosh, yeah. you know? Your heart just falls apart.
Like just melted butter in a yeah. microwave.
I told my wife the other day, you always say sissy la-la, you know? Yeah. And, you know, like when you're crying, and I told the wife, I said, like, I have, anytime I get really intense in sharing the word, like, my face leaks, yeah. you know? And I said, I finally realized what's happening. And she's like, what? And I said, well, the word says that my cup is full. And when God's given me a little more, it's just overflowing. It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just coming out a little bit. Yeah. It's all right.
So when I leak, it's not I'm sissy, it's I'm full.
No, exactly.
It's just time to pour it out.
It's just spilling over a little bit. Because we're already full.
Yeah.
And God's given us a little more, and we're overwhelmed, so it just spills a little.
Would you like to pray to send us out, brother?
You bet. So, Father, we just thank you for this day. God, we thank you for your word. And, God, I thank you that it has went forth, Father, that you will bring forth its fruit in due season and the perfect timing that you have, God. And I thank you, Father, that if there are those who have heard this today, and this may be the first time that they've heard it, God, that your Holy Spirit would just move and draw into their lives, Father, that they would know you, Father. And maybe for others, this was just a stepping stone into a greater knowledge and understanding of who you are, Father. And we thank you for that. I thank you that your word is inexhaustible, Father, and that there's not one place or not one thing that we can read that we can't learn something from it. So, Father, I just thank you for that today. I just bless this ministry today, Father. I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you that your words are going over the airways, Father, to move into the hearts of men and women, and maybe even kiddos, Father, that it would bring change to their heart, that they could come into knowing and into a relationship with you, Father. That is our prayer for this message today. That is our prayer for this ministry, God, that you have put your hand on. And we just thank you for those things in Jesus' name.
Amen. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. And you already know I'm going to say it again. This is the most powerful hour of my day. From all of us here in the studio, myself, Monica Lovell, the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and our brother in Christ, Jason Monk, y'all have a blessed day, and we will see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.